Here's Johnny.
Pushing for
excellent.
Pushing for
Pushing
for
Hey, we are on the air.
We are on the air again for another week of madness here on Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And we're going to be talking about all kinds of nutty stuff again today. It's going to be another one of those shows we keep promising.
Well, it's going to be an interesting show. You know what the problem is, though?
Yeah.
After all this revamping, we totally revamped the Ghostly Talk studios completely.
Yeah,
100%.
This place, we retiled the floors.
But did you happen to take a little peek at the compressor?
Yeah, we're running. We're totally running. We're totally running here.
Oh,
go ahead.
Okay.
I'll take a look at it. Go ahead.
So it is doing vocal compression.
Yeah, it's important.
I like that. Well, anyway, we are live every Sunday night at 7 on Zero Point Radio. That's www.zeropointradio.com.
Yeah, you guys are hosting us now, streams upon streams.
Oh, yes. Everybody can listen, and hopefully everybody does.
Yeah.
Do you know we share Zero Point Radio with, of course, what was that thumb?
That was, oh, boy.
That was us going off the air, I'm sure.
No, that was everybody going away.
Everybody closed the door.
I believe that is the AOL Instant Messenger. Part of the revamping job here.
We didn't get it all worked out.
We didn't get it all worked out.
All the little bugs. You'll hear little clicks and garbles through the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, we're in a real experimental thing right now. We're trying all kinds of crazy new stuff this week.
Yeah.
So if you hear a blip or a blop, forgive us.
Yeah.
We're sorry.
It'll be next month. It'll be all better.
Yeah.
We've got Zero Point Radio is, of course, the brainchild of RFB. And Mr. RF, he is in the chat room right now.
Yeah.
If you go to zeropointradio.com and go to the interact menu, you can go into the chat room. The only thing is you have to type /join#ZeroPointRadio in order to get in the Zero Point Radio room.
Yeah, and you can talk about all kinds of cool stuff there and talk about how great we are.
Yeah, sure, why not? And of course, Zero Point Radio also plays just the goddess of talk radio,
yeah,
Res Miranda.
The weird stuff radio show.
Res Miranda does Resmerize. Art and Rob do, of course, WSRS,
yes.
Weird Shit Radio Show.
Lone Feathers Show.
Lone Feathers Show Encounters.
Yes.
Everything. I mean, I'm missing 99% of what goes on Zero Point Radio. It's just an awesome, awesome
network.
Yeah,
I mean, I think every few minutes I get now, that's like my new hobby is to hop on the Zero Point and see what's going on. Because it's 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
Right? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
There is something going on.
Yeah.
And it's totally awesome. So check it out, guys. Of course, you must have found it in order to be hearing
yeah,
us.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you found us off the Ghostly Talk site, there's ZeroPointRadio.com as well.
Yeah. Now, okay, we're getting a couple people that are saying we sound weird.
We are weird.
Okay, yeah.
Oh.
Give us some more feedback on that. Like I said, we're in a transitional period right now.
Wow. I sound like a lamb.
You brought a sheep in the studio tonight. if we're sounding kind of weird, let us know, because we're just going to weed these bugs out tonight, hopefully. But as far as that goes, that's your end of the job tonight. We're going to do everything we can here on this end to fix everything. Hopefully everything goes well. What are we going to talk about tonight?
Well, you know what I want to talk about tonight. First, we're going to spend a little time on what you guys did, because I didn't get to go again, but you guys went out ghostbusting.
Yeah. We went out.
And I want to hear about that. And then we're going to talk about something totally cool. I hope we're going to talk about the remote viewing.
Okay.
Specifically, some remote viewing there's this fellow who is under the impression that all of our souls are one, and when the Earth dies in either a major catastrophe or because the people on the Earth are ruining it, so do all of our souls. And I want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Last night. Okay. Well, Wilcom got me about, what time? About 8:30, Will, right? About that?
Sounds about right.
Will's our new sound engineer, by
Will,
the way.
Yeah, Will has got a full-time job in the Haunted Basement Studios now. He's over here manning every technical aspect of this show, trying to keep everything from falling apart, which he's doing a very nice job right now.
Yeah. Oh, here's the duct tape. There you go. Okay,
so we went out last night. All right, I'm gonna keep all the stupid details aside. Really, what I want to talk about, we went to YPSI again. We went to YPSI Mental Institution, Mental Institution, whatever you want to call it. Well, needless to say...
Hey, Mr. Olaf is saying I'm the one who sounds weird. I don't know. I'm Doug, and if I sound like I'm in a tunnel, that's because I'm weird. No,
wait.
Like
I'm talking in an old-fashioned radio?
Yeah.
She has the same thing.
Okay,
Okay, well, I'll get a different mic then.
Okay, yeah.
While I do that, you continue talking about your fun experience.
So, well, we went to YPSI, and basically what I was focused on was to go and... sit in the room we talked about last week, which was, we told the whole story last week. One of our resident psychics of the Michigan Ghostbusters went in and told us the whole story. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. Listen to the archive from last week and you'll get that. But basically, we've heard sounds of a little girl crying in the morgue at YPSI, okay? So, really what I was focused on last night was to bring my digital recorder. I didn't even bring I brought my camera, but I didn't bring it in there with me. And I really wanted to run EVPs and see if I could get something. Needless to say, I ran about 20 minutes of EVP. It's been kind of a busy day, so unfortunately I didn't have time to actually upload that, edit it out, see if I found anything interesting, and broadcast it for you guys tonight. But what did happen, and really I don't even want to classify this as anything that really paranormal may have happened, but me and Bonnie, one of our fellow members, went, and well, everybody, there were six of us last night, right, Will? There was about six of us, and... we went out, and we were in the morgue. Four people decided to veer off and roam around the building a little bit. I, myself, wanted to stay in this room because I really wanted to see. It was after midnight at this time. I guess, you know, typical ghost story, after midnight, something happens. So I wanted to stay there. Me and Bonnie, one of our members, like I said, hung out there for about a good 45 minutes or so.
They're saying now it's your mic. Here, you try to...
My mic? It was always my mic?
Okay, well, how's this sound? People, I need feedback here, people.
Okay, so... Now we're on microphone channels 2 and 3 instead of 1 and 2.
All right.
I don't know. And we're on a... You're on my old mic, and I'm on...
All right, no problem, no problem.
Oh, well.
So, okay, now... Well, you got a mic now, so that's cool. Even if it sounds like an old-fashioned radio, if you want to say something.
Well, also, the acoustics in here have changed, because I've moved servers over the place.
And we've moved around a little bit too physically.
Yeah, and I haven't put up any batting or anything yet. So
yeah.
It's going to sound like we're in a haunted basement.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
me and Bonnie are sitting there talking, and I see a light bounce off the wall, which everybody was gone. All I had on was one of my red flashlights, and I actually had it face down on the table, so we just had enough light to see each other's faces, to talk. Well, okay, this isn't good. We could get in trouble. Wonderful. So I'm like, okay, shh, quiet. So we stood there for a few minutes in dead silence, and nothing seemed to happen, so we just kind of went back on about our conversation. So I got off the table I was sitting on the far wall and walked around to the other side so I could see out one of the windows. And I looked outside the window, and I saw a bunch of lights coming by the window. And it was like a continuous stream of lights. And I'm like, uh-oh, there, we got a problem here. So I hopped on the CB radio. Now, mind you, now I'm getting a bit nervous, and so is Bonnie. We were both like, okay, we got to get out of here. We're gonna get busted. This is not good. So we call up Tom and Will and everybody, and we're like, look, you know, we got a problem here. You know, and they're like, well, go look out the window. I'm like, I'm not looking out the window. I'm not cutting my head out the window. Get over here.
Yeah, because so, some big, bad security guard with a gun.
Will bounce me off the ground. And I don't feel like getting bounced off the ground, and especially in that weather. It was freezing cold last night.
Right.
So, okay. So we end up meeting back with these guys down the hallway a bit. And so the whole group's together. And now, looking down the hallway, which we'd be looking west, which is where the entry we come in all the time to this place is. Now, those of you here in Michigan know it. Somebody decided to dump a big barrel of snow on us. So outside of this opening, it's not a door anymore. It's just an opening. You can see outside. Now, it's pitch black inside the place. Pitch black. I mean, if you don't turn a flashlight on, you cannot see each other, and they could be right in front of you. Closer than me and you are right now, Doug.
Yeah.
So,
I understand.
I look ahead of me, and I see just like this big blob of white light, because it's bright. Snow is bright. And we're talking, and we're, you know, back and forth. Once we go out the window, I don't mind looking out the window. So I'm looking out this opening, seeing that if there's somebody waiting for us out there.
Like dressed in a security guard or police uniform, sure.
Yeah, with his gun drawn and his baton pulled out ready just to beat a few of us down.
Right.
I'm looking there, and I focus down there, and the light was like just a round blob. Just a round blob. Like, far away distance, picture this, people. The lights were back about football, half a football field. I'd say about a half a football field.
That would be 50 yards.
Thank you. The numbers. I'm in with the numbers here, don't. And I'm looking over there, and I see, like, this blob of light out the door, which is outside. And that's our destination. The light seemed to, like, I don't know, it seemed to concentrate. It started to, like, just become denser and denser and get closer. I'm not saying it took the shape of a person and came after me. I'm saying that it just started to get closer and closer. Now, what the point I'm trying to make is, I'm not going to try to disprove anybody out there at all. But I'm saying, you know, we've been out with people.
Who they're make like, everything a huge, major...
It's a ghost! It's a ghost! My eyes, and I'm going to totally blame this on myself, because I'm going to tell you right now, at that time, I was nervous, I was scared of getting caught, and all I wanted to do was get through that 500 yards of snow that we had to crawl through, back to the trucks, and get in the warm truck, and just, like, chill out. So, with that along with my psyche, along with just being cold and a bit fatigued anyways, I think I started seeing things a little bit. Because literally, and you can ask Will here, and there was four other people besides me and you, Will, I literally skipped a little bit. And I was like, I can't look over there anymore. And I literally turned around, and I was like, you know, said a few choice words, of course, because, you know, I'm Scott L. And I mean, literally, it was like, okay, they're laughing at me. But I'm like, I got frustrated and angry. Well, needless to say, there was nothing up there. Now, Will, you did say, we talked about this a little bit in the truck, and it was very brief, you said that there supposedly was a legend of the cafeteria lady. I don't know, okay.
That was what Kelly talked about.
Kelly, okay, all right. So, the cafeteria is right at the front there, where we're at, am I correct?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, so I'm going to give you both of them. I'm going to give you both sides of it. It very well may have been something. I don't know. But I really think it was my eyes just like going, I'm going to play a joke on you, Scott. Because, I mean, literally, the light just like, maybe as I focused in on it more,
mm-hmm. You
concentrated. It defined the whole thing more.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because it was pitch black. But it freaked me out. It freaked me out. I was like, I literally turned around and said, we're getting out of here. We got to go. I'm done. I mean, I needed to leave. And we talk about this all the time, about your mind playing tricks on you. And if you want to see something there, you're probably going to see it.
Yeah. And
unfortunately.
And you were pretty much right up against an issue where that could have happened.
Yeah. Just the breakdown, the fatigue, it was all there. The nervousness, the anxiety,
yeah.
All that. It was there.
And plus you're in a really creepy place.
Yeah.
And boom, it all gets to you.
Uh-huh. So I think that situation, I saw something. I'm not saying it's a ghost. I'm not going to say that. I'll never say that. Unless
well,
it's a real ghost.
We will eventually.
Hopefully
yeah,
we will eventually. But in this situation, no, I'll never say that. Because I honestly think my mind, just everything, I was tired in the snare drum. I was wound up, really wound up. And it was time to go.
Yeah.
So we talked about this left and right. If you don't feel comfortable and you don't want to be there, you get the hell out. Because only bad things can happen to you. Not physically, I'm saying, but mentally. You could really scar yourself. And I don't want to see anybody out there. We talked to so many people about this now. And so many people, young people that really want to get out there and go and do all this stuff. But you got to take these things into account. That I mean, we've been there with people who have literally ran out of buildings screaming. crying, screaming, and well, it's a bad thing to see.
We've been to that place, and I've been there twice with two people who ran out, crying.
Shaking, crying.
Shaking, crying, absolute, you know, nervous fits. They were just absolutely wrecked.
This isn't like rock climbing. It isn't like, it's not gonna kill you.
It is a bit of a rush,
yeah.
When something happens, but for the most part, ghost hunting is just taking pictures, taking measurements, you know, reading the temperature, reading, you know, all these different things.
Yeah, but it just depends on the person.
Yeah, sometimes it all just sort of walls you in and you feel trapped.
This
is not the place to be at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like I said, I saw something. It was just maybe standing in that dark, pitch black hallway with that little bit of light.
Yeah.
And we didn't know who was out there. That's why we weren't even flashing our flag. We were like, what's this flashlight on, Scott? Well, yeah, okay, great. I'm trying not to get busted.
Right.
Okay. I mean, I'm trying not to get tossed in the can and having to call my parents at 4 o'clock in the morning asking for bail money. That's the last thing I want to do to my parents right now. Okay? So.
That's the last thing I want to do to my parents ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The point is, you want to keep these things in mind when you go out to places like this. Because there's a lot of things you got to think about. We've said this 1,000 times too, and we're going to keep saying it as long as this show keeps running, is dead people aren't going to hurt you. Dead people can't hurt you, whether they're in spirit form or whatever, demon, I don't know. But,
well, there is, you know, the one caveat of the poltergeist, you'd have to let them in, that kind of thing.
You'd actually have to be wound up in that whole saga, though.
Right.
Just walking into a situation, I really don't think you're going to
be. But walking in, well, yeah, doing some ghost busting, right. Yeah, you're going to most likely, you know, get hurt from a physical standpoint rather than a spiritual standpoint.
Living people. Living people.
With guns and batons. They can hurt you.
They can hurt you.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the point. That's the bottom line on that. That was the whole thing. It was interesting. I look back at it now and we're all giggling about it. Will, of course, in his usual fashion, is having a field day on me today. So, we can laugh about it now. But when it happens to you, it's not fun.
No.
It's not fun at all.
No.
It is not fun. Until you get in the truck and you get warm, it's not fun.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep that stuff in mind, people. When you go out and do this kind of stuff, I mean, I'm not trying to dispel anybody from going out in any way whatsoever. But I'm just telling you from a first person point of view, what can happen to you? And we've been doing this for over a year now. We should be like, oh, you know, another ghost hunt, cool.
Oh, just under a year. Oh, you mean doing ghost hunting?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's over a year.
You know, I mean, we're not professionals. We never play. We're complete amateurs. But as far as the mental thing goes, I mean, I'm pretty much like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, and you know, we're still
human. This place is scary, Scott. Well, yeah, whatever. If I haven't been here before already, I'm like, okay, well, it's a new place. I'm going to be more interested in finding things.
Yeah.
And seeing things. And experiencing
taking pictures and EVP readings. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. I really wanted to get that out of my chest.
I think you did good because that's the one thing about the show is we get to tell our stories of our ghost hunting. I didn't get to go. I had a family thing.
Yeah.
And that was nice, you know. Didn't help my diet any. They had two different... They had two different kinds of cakes.
Yeah.
They had chocolate and then white. And so I had to have a piece of each. After already, well, you know, it's only polite. And then and that was after already, like, totally, you know, scrounging on the buffet. I just absolutely went wacko last night. But I had a lot of fun. Got to see a lot of family members that I didn't see over the holiday. And so it worked out really well for me. But I did miss doing... You know, doing the ghost hunt. But then when I came back here, it was already running late.
Uh-huh.
That's when I decided to rearrange the Ghostly Talk Studios.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got over here today and we're like, why are there painters leaving the house?
Well, oops. Well,
I just talked to a contractor outside. What's going on? There's a lot of changes. Like
the haunted basement is completely different.
There's a lot of changes, like we said, and hopefully it's going to be for the better for everybody. And you're going to get more out of the show.
As we get used to it, as we do more streams, we're going to do some testing, I hope, through the week. Because one of my big things for Ghostly Talk is to take live callers.
We've been working on this for almost a year now.
Yeah, ever since we started, we've been working on taking live callers.
Yeah.
And with the help of the absolutely incredible Res Miranda, she told me how she did it. She took a live caller on her Halloween show, and I listened to it last night.
Yeah.
It works great. So I'm going to work on that.
Yeah,
that's
so
what I'm working on. That's why I'm rearranging everything and changing servers out and doing all this stuff so that we can, you know, eventually do live callers.
Live calls. And
hopefully, 2003, you'll be able to dial, like, 1-800-GHOSTLY-TALK or something. I don't know. We have to come up with some...
I prefer a 900 number myself.
A 900 number?
That'd be nice. No, So yeah, a lot of changes. Like we said, just hang in there with us, please, people. We're really sorry if there's any problems.
No, we're not, because I'm sorry that, you know, this particular show had some you know, audio quality problems. But
just hang in. Yeah.
At the same time, it's going to make it better, because as we get used to the new changes, as we get used to it, it's going to be better.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll be able to bring, you know, live callers onto, you know, the Zero Point Radio Network.
Yeah, totally.
Although they do carry Lou Gentile, who does live callers, so...
Yeah. Rez Miranda takes live calls, though, too.
Well... She did a couple times, but not on the last show that I heard.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Listen to her show. It's cool.
Oh, my gosh. It's an enchanting hour.
I mean, I know she's like, listening
she's
right now.
She's probably typing up in the chat room, which we can't see because we're looking the other
this
way.
It's like a rigid, like, format now. We're in a real studio where we can't see anything anymore.
I know. This is actually kind of bad.
Well,
I liked being, like, interactive over there, but now it's only Will who's interactive.
He's having all the fun now.
Yeah, you're a live interactive Will.
Rez, did you get my did you do my tarot reading yet? I'm just curious. She said she was going to do one and send me an email. So, like, cool.
Cool.
I haven't checked my mail all day long, so she hopes she squeaked one over there for me.
We're going to talk about now, what I want to talk about really bad is remote viewing. Because we never talked about it.
We never talked about
it. And it's such big news. It's big news on, like, the coast-to-coast shows, you know, because of those people that seem to be extremely regular guests on coast-to-coast. And I, you know, whether you believe it or not, you know, or these particular guests, there's a lot of controversy. For some reason, over several of the regular guests.
Yeah.
And I've been reading some chat room, what do they call them? Message board kind of things about people. And there's a lot of controversy over that. But I want to talk about remote viewing, you know, and take it away from most of the people. I do want to talk about this one particular person who's not been a guest anywhere.
Right now.
But that particular thing, what Aaron?
Aaron Donahue.
Yeah, Aaron Donahue. I want to talk about him. But the remote viewing as it supposedly works, okay? There's a whole history, by the way, and I'm sure everybody who listens to Ghostly Talk have heard it, where, you know, the Department of Defense, you know, set up the project, Stargate or something, or let me see what it is.
Yeah, we got some data here.
Oh, we do. Oh, wow, this is too cool. I am so glad you printed all this out and I didn't read a word of it. But anyway, it was set up during the Cold War to hopefully be able to see and gather information about what the other side's doing, you know, at the time that was Russia. But now, hey, yo, Russia. And, but call me.
Are they all friends now?
Yeah. We're all friends again. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So they set up the remote viewing project. They trained people who had the particular characteristics that they were looking for. The project evidently disbanded, at least the main project, and then now everybody who was involved, well, it seems like a lot of people who were remote viewers are going around and, you know, writing tell-all books, you know, that kind of thing. You know, Amazon.com, so.
Now, Aaron
why
Donahue,
not?
Though, he's scary.
Well, yeah, I've heard all kinds of interesting, you know, predictions or, evidently when you remote view, here's how it works.
Okay,
here's how it works. Well, how much? Yeah, we're cool.
We're good.
All right, here's how it works. Evidently, you sit in a chair, a comfortable chair, and you relax, and you do your breathing exercises, and you basically meditate, stuff like that. You bring yourself under control, and when you're ready, you concentrate on, you know, something. And there's actually different kinds of remote viewing. There's the kind where somebody has, you know, they do all this, like, double-blind kind of study.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah,
you want a
pen? Yes, I want a pen. I'm writing things
down.
Pen.
Okay. So they do double-blind kind of studies. They did it all very, very extremely scientifically. And they have the, cool. They have the, you know, people who put secret locations or times and dates or a picture or something in an envelope, and then they select that as to, you know, to be the subject of the remote viewing, and then the remote viewer has to try and go to the place that is depicted in the envelope and describe it, and then they, you know, send it to people who, you know, completely objective third parties who then score the results to see how close they are. You know, like if it's a bridge, did they get like a bridge-like atmosphere with a stream or something underneath it? So all the major things, and they try and, you know, score how well they did. Then they also put them on projects that they know nothing about, like, you know, where is Osama? You know, that kind of thing. Or where, you know, what, or sometimes in time, too, because time evidently doesn't mean very much to remote viewers once you get over the time, the mechanism of time, you know. Everybody's so used to living your life in a time-based, you know, fashion that when you go and do your remote viewing, you eventually, hopefully, if you get that good, learn that, you know, time, you don't have to be, you know, remote viewing in a time-based fashion.
Unfortunately, though, I'm just going to, like, just throw this down real quick.
Cool.
Because we just got a brief thing here from Mr. Aaron Donahue's bio. One thing that they are having a problem with, and unfortunately they don't have, like, any dates in here right now, but one of the things in his write-up here is, at the time, no remote viewer could ever zero in on numbers, especially numbers from the future. Okay? That's what sets this gentleman apart, apparently, is that he was able to zero in on, like, just solid numbers. I mean, whatever application they have, I'm sure it's very important, okay? So, I mean, what he does, basically, is if you go to a site, which is another thing we should actually we should give you guys, obviously, go to the Ghostly Talk homepage, would you, Will? We have his link up on there, okay, to one of his sites. Go to Google, like we say every week.
Yeah.
Okay, because he's got one site that's like a bunch of predictions. That's the one I linked off a Ghostly Talk site. And then there's his actual website is like the World of Aaron Donahue or whatever. Just go to Google, look for Aaron Donahue in paranormal or Aaron Donahue in remote viewing.
Yeah.
Damn, it's crazy, remote viewing.
It's like a tripod site or something, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Something like that. So, you lay it down pretty good, though, what it's all about.
Yeah, and you just, like, lay there, and you go into an altered state of consciousness, and you basically try and get whatever the subject of your remote viewing session is.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be, you know, in the time domain, time and place domain, or just the place domain, you go and try and do that. You know, you try and get the... get hits, I guess, and make it right. But you know nothing about what's in the envelope, and you never know.
Yeah.
I mean, they talk to you evidently later, you know, much later after they score it and everything, and they tell you the results.
This is like so Jedi stuff, man.
Oh, I know.
This is like so Jedi.
Jedi Master. the remote viewers, I mean, it's a pretty cool thing, I think. And,
very cool.
And if it works, that's totally awesome.
Okay, here's the URL for Aaron, the one alternative site, which has a bunch of his predictions on it. Which, I mean, I'm just going to tell you right now, when you go to this site, I mean, take it any way you want. I mean, I took it kind of, I mean, I was like, whatever. But, you know, take it any way you want. We're not here to scare anybody. That's not what our purpose is here on this show tonight, especially. It's http://umm.o.cc. Okay, so I'm going to do this like military style. Umbrella minor. Open.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Car. Okay, go to that. Check it out. It's a relatively simple URL. Check that out if you want. That'll give you a good idea of what, you know, Aaron Donahue's all about. What a lot of his predictions.
Well, that's
are.
His prediction site. Yeah.
Now, me and Doug discussed this a lot. There's one particular aspect of one of his predictions that I mentioned to you and said, you know, this is really interesting.
Yeah, and I said, oh, we could do a whole Ghostly Talk around that.
Well, we never thought about an application of this type. I mean, it's on one end of the spectrum, we're like, well, this is very sci-fi, I guess. But on the other end, it's very paranormal at the same time. And I've never really come face-to-face with something that really, like, took those two things and melted them together.
Yeah, well, being sci-fi addict like I am, I love almost all sci-fi stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that, and then also delving into what is the soul? What is the origin of
the soul?
What's it all about? You know?
Yeah.
And he gives some pretty specific,
characteristics,
of,
dynamics.
Of the soul. Yeah, and definitions of the soul that, well, I mean, maybe I've heard them before, but I never, you know, blatantly thought about it. So that's why I thought it'd be good Ghostly Talk.
Yeah, I mean, he's trying to, I mean, well, what I like about it the most is that he breaks it down into a scientific level where we're seeing things. He's bringing it down into like more of like the technology perspective.
Yeah.
They're making a solo nothing but a piece of data, basically.
Yeah.
And that's what's like, whoa, what's going on here? Tell you what, we're going to be right back. All right, we're going to talk much more about this. So stay tuned to Ghostly Talk, okay?
Ghost Hunting, my ethereal anti-drug.
It's paranormal and scientific. It's Ghostly Talk.
Yeah. All right, Ghostly Talk. We're back after that brief break. We're just working on some more technical things for you here, guys. Like we said, we're working all the bugs out tonight, so you guys got to bear with us. Doug, the ninja master of the PC, is over there taking care of business. Look at him go. His hands are a blur right now.
Well, that's going to cause some of that tunnel effect.
Hopefully, yeah, it'll clean things up a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to just, do you want me to paraphrase on this a little bit?
We did a whole Ghostly Talk with the microphone on the laptop when we were using the laptop.
Okay. Is that why it sounded like, it sounded bad?
Well, I think that's going to cause some of the tunneling effects.
Okay, well,
We'll see. I don't know.
Hey, it might sound cool. Who knows?
Quick, turn all the mics on. But then, of course, remember I had to go through and I had to replace all the promos, all the things in the middle?
Yeah.
That's because the mic was on and you could hear us go,
hear us,
I never want to do another Ghostly Talk again. Arr! You know, you can hear all the during promo stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you can probably hear some of it very weakly while I was turning that mic on and off.
Okay.
You know, during that commercial break thing.
Uh-huh.
But, that's what it was.
Yeah. So
that's going to be a major part of our sound problem.
Bear with us.
We switched PCs, you guys.
Yeah,
we're no longer on a laptop.
Yeah, we're bouncing stuff. We got gear laying all over the place right now. You guys can actually, you should get a webcam put in here. That's like the next thing.
Oh, man.
We're going to get a webcam put right in the corner up here. And so you can just see us both
making faces at each other. Oh, my gosh.
Well, it gets pretty cutthroat down here.
Yeah,
it does. We get mean to each other. I mean, actually threw a mouse at me one day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, just calm down. Doug's got a horrible temper.
Well, yeah. I'm just, you know, sometimes I have to get evil.
Yeah.
It just happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just can't wait for that one.
I'm a pent up.
Doug's got an anger management problem.
Oh, that'll be
everybody just. Yeah, Scott L said Doug's got a problem. Yeah, I don't know, man. You better just keep away from that guy. He's trouble.
In your next edition of National Enquirer.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Now, Ghostly Talk host, checks in.
As conniption fit. Who knows? But, yeah, you'll just look for that in your next, at the grocery store next week, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Doug's face will be right on the front. Okay. All right, so, you want me to paraphrase on this, or do you want to paraphrase?
If you want to, go ahead.
Okay, that's cool. Now, this is, if you went to his site, like on the break, if you decided to pop into this gentleman's site, Mr. Donahue's site, he has a prediction that there's going to be a great war. Which really isn't too different from, like, everybody else's predictions.
Right, yeah, that sounds pretty normal, yeah.
A great nuclear strike. But the thing that he did on that, if you go to the first place, like the first link to go to,
yeah,
he gives you the write-up, and I remember reading this at work, and he's got drawings, and he actually shows
California. I had absolutely no clue what they were.
Well, if you read the captions under there, you know.
Oh, I just skimmed,
okay.
Yeah.
He had a drawing of California. He had a drawing of California.
Yeah.
And he had circles all over the place, and you're like, well, what's the circles for? Well, the circles on there represented a nuclear hit.
Did he have a picture of Michigan?
No.
Oh, good.
So I think we're okay.
Yeah.
My aunt used to live in California, and I keep telling her it's going to sink one of these days.
And that means Res and RFV, they're all cool.
Yeah, so we're all way over.
Yeah, we're not.
We're the hell out of the
California, yeah.
So, but he predicted there's going to be, put circles all over there. You guys can see this if you go there. You'll see this. Circles all over the place down there, and those represent, each one of those circles represent a strike, a hit. A bomb landing, and there's a lot of them. There's a whole lot of them, okay? And if I remember correctly, he said that there's going to be so many hits that it's basically going to sink half the state into the Pacific Ocean.
Well,
not good. Not good. No.
Well, I thought Mother Earth was going to do that with her earthquakes and volcanoes.
Well, apparently a man with their, I don't know, insecurities
Yeah.
They're going to do it before she did. They're going to beat Mother Nature to the punch, unfortunately, according to Aaron.
All right. Right.
So what we're talking about here is the next thing down, okay? So I'm going to just crank off this, and you guys just take it out. You can read this right along with me if you'd like or whatever. Computer technology and human extinction. What the heck's that? What are we talking about?
Well, that
phrase alone is just like, what?
That's the deep stuff that I want to get into.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead, read the background stuff, because I really want to get into that.
Soon after the wars, it will be apparent that we as a species have little time left to develop an alternative to total extinction.
Okay, well, all right. No problem with that.
Put my hands up. Okay, whatever.
That's the first sentence, and I like that one.
All right. A frantic effort will be employed to transfer human consciousness into a computer matrix that will emulate an idealized world with a holographic illusion, programmed sensation, and perceived omnipresence, etc.
Okay.
We're talking about some huge words here. Okay.
This is where we're getting into Star Trek.
We're talking about basically a holodeck.
Yeah, only for without bodies. We wouldn't have bodies at that.
We're talking
moment.
About souls.
Yeah, and it also reminds me of the holodeck, but it also reminds me there's an episode of Star Trek Voyager where they go in and I guess Fear or something is a clown or something and terrorizes several people who go into this this thing that they went into and he's holding them hostage,
yeah,
and all this stuff, you know, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, they...
A real exciting show there, Doug.
Yeah.
Kudos to Star Trek.
It was pretty good, but it was, it wasn't, you know, my cup of tea.
Gene Roddenberry's may give us a call anytime.
The Ouija board. But anyway, he's talking about going into this virtual environment, but without our bodies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Our souls. Very sophisticated.
Assuming that could be technically possible, but go ahead.
Very sophisticated computers or pods will be buried and encased deep within the earth at first by the Japanese.
Oh, well, they'd probably do that kind of thing.
Other devices that communicate remotely with these computers will be placed within or on the moon or earth, Mars, and a large piece of space rock. These computers will maintain a form of human consciousness, theoretically, for an inconceivable amount of time. And so long as this remains true, humans who are locked into this system will invariably ask for death. Think about that for a second, people. I am like so Art Bell right now.
You
and I got all respect for my man, dude. Sorry, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry.
Hurry up. I really want to comment on this.
This and many other paradoxical errors could not...
Paradoxical? I want to see that word.
Paradoxical.
Oh, thank heaven.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I got you. This and many other paradoxical errors could not be factored within any related program prior to the conception of such a device capable of matching the complexity of human consciousness. Take that in. Read it. I know it's hard coming out of my goopy mouth. Because I know I sound really good here, but I listen to myself on this show at home, and I sound like a goofball.
You do not.
Well, you're very articulated.
I'm
from the street, man, yo.
I do tend to articulate.
Okay, one more stanza here, and we're out. And then we're going to discuss
good.
This.
Yeah, because I can't wait.
This guy is like, he's like biting his nails right now.
I'm already reading in the chat room what they're saying about what you're saying.
They're like,
go ahead.
You got to get him off the show, man. This guy's not clicking anymore. A very odd thing occurs when I remote view those who are trapped within this matrix. A woman in a blue dress is often seen begging for death. I have tried to communicate with her, and it simply cannot be done beyond the repeated message of, let us die, and 2025. I cannot know what this means, although I do feel a sense of great horror and sadness for those unfortunate people trapped within. Those within are mere ghosts without a soul.
Okay.
What the hell is this guy talking about?
Well, okay, what it sounds like physically he's talking about is, you know, obviously exactly what he said. There's some huge computer mainframe kind of thing.
It's storing. I mean, the first thing I think of, honestly, I'm going to cut you off either, but I'm like Ghostbusters. Protection grid. Yay!
Do you know, I didn't even think of that.
What? The same thing!
Yeah.
But it's more like a, that thing was more of a machine. It really wasn't a supercomputer. We're talking about super mainframe computers buried into the ground.
So he's talking about, for example, you know how you take a digital camera,
aim
it at something, you press the button, then you take a picture.
Yeah.
It basically digitizes the, what happened? Oh, yeah, the Matrix.
Sure.
I agree.
Who said that? We got a listener that says sounds like the Matrix.
Ross. Oh, that's Ross from Florida, I think.
Sure. You know what? I mean, I hate that. I don't like that movie.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of well done, but...
I got to give it another chance, I think. But, I mean, that's fine. I mean, I've seen it a couple times, but honestly, I didn't pay too much attention. I know what they're talking about.
In the Matrix, though, they have their physical bodies, though.
Yeah.
This guy's talking about taking a snapshot, taking a digitizing your consciousness.
Yeah.
Not necessarily your soul, but your consciousness.
Yeah.
And letting that live in a computer.
Yeah. In which,
somewhere.
I mean, what they're trying to do, what he's saying here, the beginning of this write up, is he's saying the intentions were good. They wanted to give them everything. Feeling, touching, it would all be there.
Right, there's all this stuff, and hopefully a utopia kind of thing.
But there was a mistake. They couldn't calculate into that.
There's also an episode of Stargate SG-1 similar to this.
Okay.
So, yeah, I...
Well, we talked about, there's a real sci-fi feel to this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a real sci-fi feel to this.
So you take a snapshot of your consciousness, or they take a snapshot of your consciousness, put it into this computer, and then shoot it off into space, or let it run on this interesting network between, you know, four or five heavenly, you know,
bodies yeah.
and it runs on this network, and you're in this utopia, but you basically, you know, have no physicality.
Uh-huh.
You've got no body, you've got, and evidently, according to him, no soul. So he also talks about what is a soul.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, I don't know, it wasn't in this one, but it was in a different one. He talks about what a soul is.
Well, his take on the soul was very interesting, too.
And it's, yeah, because what he's saying is we all are really one.
Yeah.
All of our souls are one.
There's a mainframe soul that we all live under.
Yeah, that we all
feed
are part of.
This. We're all part of. We're all part of this gigantic plan.
But it's maintained by the Earth. Yes. So, you ruin the Earth.
You get the horns for the night.
Yeah, dude! I got the horns! So it's maintained by the Earth, and the Earth is this, basically, you know, it's like a symbiotic relationship. The Earth needs our soul, our collective soul, and our collective soul needs the Earth. We destroy the Earth, or the Earth gets destroyed. Either, you know, by ourselves and war, or by some natural cataclysmic event, or whatever. If we all die, the Earth dies. If the Earth gets destroyed or dies somehow, we all die.
Yes.
That's what he's saying. There's this symbiotic relationship. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I do know how I feel about that. let me just tell you this.
Go for it.
I don't think we are all one soul. I think we're a whole bunch of souls, and we answer to, you know, some master, you know, universal force, but I don't think that we're one soul. As a matter of fact, nothing hit me even as fascinating. I've never been fascinated with the concept more than what I read on the alt SOC Jewish FAQ.
Yeah.
They have a site about the Jewish, you know, traditions and religion and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And one of the articles, or one of the questions, you know, asks about what's the origins of the soul, or what happens to it after you die.
Yeah.
And they're saying that you actually, while you're, you know, physically here and alive with a body, you know, you're all pretty much right there. But when you die, your soul is actually splintered into pieces.
Okay.
And even though, like, if you had to look at it on a physical plane, which, of course, you know, there isn't after you die, but if you had to look at it on a physical plane, it would look like something is over here, there's another piece over there, and there's another piece over there. And you all, like, act as one, but you're, you know, too bad you have to put it into, like, place kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There is no place after you die. It's just, like, you're there or not. Mm-hmm. But you fracture into pieces of soul then, and you exist in different places at different times simultaneously, if you have to put it into, you know, physical
yes.
words. So that the pieces of the soul or whatever, they're all you, and you are all them, but other people have their own, I thought, when I read that little bit. I haven't studied, you know, Judaism, but I imagine, I mean, what I read on that, I thought that you had yours, and I have mine, and you know, everybody has their own soul. And I'm comfortable with that. I'm not comfortable being a little bit of a huge ocean. Like Odo in Star Trek, yeah.
Or like the way he's describing it is basically, I mean, we've all seen maps of the universe. And we think we live in such a huge galaxy. And we think everything's so big here. But if you compare it to the rest of the universe,
oh, yeah.
Roughly the rest, I mean, we don't know. But we're nothing but just one little spinning, what do I want to say?
Itty bitty dot.
Well, we're just one little, there's an actual analogy they use with it scientifically. Well, really, let's just put it this way, we're nothing. We're nothing. But that's not a bad thing. We are who we are, and that's what we gotta deal with that.
Yeah.
But you made a very important, like, interesting point, though, as far as, well, in Judaism, mm-hmm. what they're talking about.
Well, that's in the alt.soc.jewish, frequently asked questions. You search for it on Google.
Yeah.
Go through it. Oh my gosh, it's fascinating stuff.
But something that
they really thought about this stuff. They really did.
But something that you mentioned as far as the splintering goes.
Mm-hmm.
The splintering. Well, okay, I die and my soul leaves, and as I ascend or descend or wherever, descending in my case.
I hope not.
You're going up. Or whatever, you're doing something really prolific. Oh, God, why have you said that to me? Or whatever. And you're a splinter. Okay,
right.
Well, okay, let's say you splinter into, like, five parts.
I think it was seven, but five is good.
We'll go seven.
Yeah.
We'll go seven.
All right.
We'll go seven.
Sounds good.
Okay, we have six senses, for example. I'm just gonna throw this in the pot and see what the heck happens.
Do we have six senses?
We have six. Well, five senses.
Oh, yeah.
We should use five.
Res Miranda has six senses.
She has six senses.
Yes. I
think
five.
We all have six senses, but.
Yeah, I suppressed the one.
So I was right.
Yeah. Okay. You're right. Six senses.
Let's just say,
only
okay,
five we normally use.
Just for example, just for theoretical talking, we splinter off. What? Do each one of these pieces represent something?
No, you mean specific pieces of you,
maybe
is my
emotion,
anger, this is my
or this is thought. this is my sight, this is my smell,
I don't
my hearing.
No, I don't think they're tied to any specific.
You just break up.
Yeah,
you're like a Devastator, like a Transformers Devastator.
Yeah,
like
and you are. Yeah, you all can act as one or many. You know,
I never
heard
Transformers into the show yet either. You know that.
Hey,
I'm so proud
did.
Of myself.
You
man.
Did
I
good.
Broke new ground with Ghostly. No, I mean, that's just something that I thought about. I was like, okay, you break off in all these pieces, like seven specifically. Each one of those represents something. Maybe they, I mean, apparently they don't. They're just, like, as is, we're all, according to Mr. Donahue, we're all part of this one gigantic soul.
There's one huge soul.
All these pieces are one part of your soul.
We're dependent upon the earth, and it is dependent upon us.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
That's what Aaron's saying.
I think.
Yeah, and that's what he's saying exactly. That we, the earth itself could, I mean, maybe the earth itself is a physical manifestation of the master soul. You know, you see where I'm going with this?
Well, yeah. I mean, either that or it's a separate thing. It's just.
As we may be physical manifestations of our soul.
Oh, wow. That's deep. That is really a lot deeper.
I'm getting the horns from everybody in the world right now. Yeah! No, seriously.
There's people in Austria going, yeah.
That's good.
Seriously, though. I mean, is that what he... I mean, he's got his point here. He made his point. I read this, and I mean, I'm like, okay, I get what you're saying, man. Because, I mean, this was very unsettling to read this stuff.
It was.
I mean, just the thing about...
I mean, whether you agree with it or not, I mean, I don't necessarily, I'm not comfortable with agreeing that there's one master soul. And,
I agree with you on that,
and
too.
It dies when the earth dies and vice versa.
I agree.
What I do, and how much time? Oh, we're doing good.
We're doing good.
Minutes,
yeah,
right?
We're doing
or
good.
11 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, good, because I want to talk about this more. What I'm wondering is, okay, here's the other part of remote viewing. when you remote view, you know, you're in this altered state of consciousness. You self-induce this altered state of consciousness. You concentrate on a topic or a whatever's in an envelope or whatever you want to know or learn about.
Yeah.
And it takes you there to where you can, you know, answer the question or whatever. So, you know, this altered state of consciousness and this process that they go through. Well, you're barraged by information. That's what remote viewing is. It's gathering information. Okay, so you are barraged by information, and you can get it through, you know, visual images and, you know, pictures worth a thousand words kind of thing. You get it through visual images. You get it through, sometimes smell, touch, sound. You know, you get it through these different, whatever your altered state of consciousness and you're ready for is how you get this information. You gather this information, okay? And in the experiments with the DOD, the Department of Defense and all that stuff, it wasn't the job of the remote viewer, as far as I remember, because I've only read one book on it. Fascinating stuff. It wasn't the job of the remote viewer to process the information or put it together. It was just that they were to collect it.
They were to collect data, and the Department of Defense was supposed to make it into information.
And then they take it and they make it into information, exactly. So, or they make it into, you know, something, they analyze it, come up with something out of your data. So you just give them raw data, you know, I don't know, small being, four legs and a tail, and then they're supposed to then later infer that it's supposed to be a dog or a cat or whatever it's supposed to be. So they're, you know, you don't infer anything. You just give them raw, you know, details of what
he's doing.
Seen or
but Aaron's
felt.
Doing all that.
He's doing, yeah, Aaron's doing everything. It's easy, it could be considered, I would think, easy to misinterpret what you've been given or what you've seen or what you've experienced in this altered state of consciousness.
Well, because, as a person, regardless of what his talents may be, he still is a person, and every person is different.
And you're going to take all of your stuff from your own life experience, from age zero all the way up to however old you are when you do this remote viewing experiment. All of that's going to go into interpreting what you see, hear, feel, taste.
Because
we
all perceive things differently. Us three down here right now, we could look at one thing and probably more.
And
like
describe
a,
it three different ways.
What do they do with psychoanalysis? Here's a blob of paint. What do you see?
Yeah. And,
we probably
and,
all see something different.
Yeah, you see something different. And so what happens is, I'm not knocking remote viewing at all.
No.
I think remote viewing is phenomenal technology, phenomenal process, and it could be used for good and bad, and you know, just like any other tool.
Yeah.
And I think it's a phenomenal thing. But my question is, you know, he's gone and gotten all this data. He collected all these observations through his remote viewing process, and then he's also interpreted it in a way that makes sense with his worldview.
Yeah.
And he states it just like it's a fact, too. I noticed
he isn't messing around.
No, the way it's written.
According to me, no, he's not saying anything like
no,
that.
No,
he's saying this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, he's saying this is it. This is what happens. This is what I experience. And but he's also interpreting this data for us. So I don't know. Could it, some of it be misinterpreted?
Who knows? Neither of us are on here to discredit the guy.
No, as a matter of fact, the whole reason we're talking about it is because it's so fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, this week has been like just insane for all of us. The holidays, Merry Christmas, by the way, everybody.
Oh yeah,
and
Happy
New
Year
and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, this would be considered our New Year's show.
Okay, that was bad.
Oh, horrible.
All right, so obviously this week, like every week, our weeks are insane. I was driving to Mother's house, Mother and Father's house, to see them today, say hi. I think my mom and dad are listening. Grandma, hi, love you. Have a good trip back to Tennessee. And I thought about this thing, because we needed a topic. Because we were so focused on getting all the technical things straightened out with the show.
Which didn't, you know, they didn't get all straightened out, but, you know, they
will
be.
We'll get it.
Yeah.
And that's where I was like, I did a little reading on this morning when I got up. And, that hit me. I'm like, geez, Pete, could we take a soul snapshot, like you said? A soul.
Well, I don't think he's talking about digitizing the soul, because he calls them, he says later, that these are, I think it's more the consciousness.
Okay.
Because he says, when the earth dies, so do our souls. So that would be a living consciousness without a soul and without a body stuck in this, you know,
I guess
environment, this computer-generated environment.
I guess from a monetary point of view, it would be cheaper to move somebody's consciousness than to move their whole body to Mars, huh?
Oh, definitely.
I guess that's the whole purpose behind this, is to save a few bucks.
Well,
you know,
not
I'm not
going to
get here and start hammering on the government. <You know?
laughs> Well, if it comes down to, you know, extinction, which, I mean, eventually it will, because eventually the sun will explode, you know, billions of years or whatever. I don't know the numbers
for
that.
Our sun is middle-aged.
Oh, so it's going to go for hundreds of millions of years, probably.
Oh, yeah.
But,
no,
you know, it's just that, you know, eventually we are, you know, the Earth is going to cease to exist.
Yeah.
I mean, if you wait long enough, it's going to happen because of, you know, the physics of how the...
I don't think anybody right now could wait long enough.
I wouldn't. I'm not waiting around for it.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing that's what I was thinking about when I was like, this would work for this show, because, I mean, we're taking, let's just say consciousness, like you said, a snapshot, and we're placing it into an environment.
Into a computer.
A computer environment.
Generated environment.
I have never seen anything like this in my life or heard about it.
Well, I've heard about it. I've heard about it in the sci-fi show.
I get, yeah.
But, I mean, it's not.
That's a different medium, though. That's an entertainment medium.
Yeah, and then, but then to take it and say, you know, this is what he has glimpsed. This is what he has seen.
And this is not good either.
No, and because evidently when our consciousnesses are in there.
There's an error.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, we've been here for 2.4 billion years.
I can just see it now, too. Like, some dude's like,
get rid of me.
Soul 1, soul 2, soul 3, bank, blue screen of death, uh-oh.
Oh, no. Oh, that's another thing.
I can just see it, you know that? I'm not playing funny on this, but I can just see that happen. It's so typical.
We all know that. That would be mine.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've got a bit or two reversed, you know.
Okay, and, I mean, this is not a good outlook, though. This guy is very pessimistic about what's going to happen to us. I mean, and take it any way you want. If you go to his site, if you read up on Mr. Donahue, I mean, if he ever listens to this show...
Oh, that would be totally cool.
If he ever listens, I mean, I consider this man brilliant, and, I mean, what he's talking about, I mean... Whether he's right or not, we've talked about a lot of things in the last 45 minutes about just all the dynamics and what could happen, especially the fact that, well, Aaron, you're one person, man.
Well, he's interpreting his own data, which,
yeah.
I mean, that's okay, and that's what a lot of people do. That's what a psychic does.
Yeah.
They receive the information, and they interpret it and, you know, present it to the person who is being read.
Uh-huh.
And that's okay, but I'm thinking he's dealing with some really, really heavy stuff.
This is beyond heavy.
This is like, yeah, And then he's presenting it on a very small web page.
Yeah.
You know, and with no background, I mean, very little background information, very little, you know, to do about the process of gathering it, and very little actual raw data.
But the thing that he does, too, he drew pictures. Like, we were talking about the picture of California. There's a lot more on there to look at. And he read the captions on there. We're not making any statements by going, hey, check this out. By any means, I want to make sure I make that very clear.
Yeah.
Take it for what it is. Take it however way you want to take it. If you just want to go, in that case, fine. But if you want to take it seriously and start doing marches, fine, go right ahead and do that, too. You know, stand in front of any tree you want. I don't care.
All
cool.
I have to say is the guy, I don't know, it doesn't fit within my worldview.
No.
I haven't glimpsed and seen what he has seen, though. So, therefore, I think if he, you know, came over to the Haunted Basement Studio and sat down and said, you know, hey, let's, you know, have some pizza and talk about it, I would.
Oh, absolutely.
I would, because he gets...
We'd probably fill our queue for shows probably for the next year.
With that.
Yeah.
Because, so as far out there as it seems at first, and when you read it, and this is what they were saying in the chat room, it sounds like so far out there.
Yeah.
And it really is. But we don't, you know, we haven't seen what he's seen. He doesn't present us with the background information or the data itself. And I'm a little, you know, sad about that. But it's a really heavy topic, and it's really something to wrap your brain around.
That's confidence, too, though.
Yeah.
He's going, look, man, I don't need to tell you. Yeah. I don't need to explain myself to you. I'm telling you what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm not supporting. I'm just saying, that's the confidence he has in his information here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I felt it important to talk about that. I second guessed the show,
and,
man.
And that's fine. You know, that's fine. But at the same time, you know, as somebody who's run across it and wants to read it and wants to analyze it and think about it for themselves,
absolutely.
That's the problem is all of Ghostly Talk is trying to tell you, think for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, when you see something, think about it.
Yeah.
And that's all.
That's what drives the paranormal community right there. That is the fuel for it.
And that's what we've been doing ever since, you know, day one of Ghostly Talk is think for yourself. And he gives you these statements, and they are flat out statements.
Yeah, there's no...
And some of them are a bit heady. A bit heady, yeah.
Hey.
But there's no build up. There's, you know, it's just, this is it. And I don't like that form of presentation myself because...
Yeah. Oh, I can understand.
I think you need to explain yourself a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, and I agree with that. Like I said, there's the other side of it that I said too, though. There's the confidence that he has.
Yeah.
I mean, take it any way you want. That's the bottom line. And think about it. Like every week we say, think. What is up with this? So like.
H-I-N-K.
Yeah.
think.
So, you know, this stuff, it pounded me. Read it all.
I'm flabbergasted.
It blew us both out. Like I said, I was almost like, I don't even know if I want to try to tackle something like this. This is just going to be too scary for people. And the last thing I want to do to people, and I know this is your intention too, is to scare people half to death.
Oh, yeah.
But hey, you know what? We did it anyway. It's cool.
Yeah, and until then,
yeah.
We are going to be live on Zero Point Radio.
Every week.
Every week, Sundays at 7.
Every single week. So we'll come back next week. Who knows what we're going to be talking about then?
Yeah, and tune in throughout the week for awesome shows like Res Miranda.
True science. On that note,
deny the existence of things.
Listen to us talk.
They cannot be.
There's four of us here.
It will rather lead us to believe.
This was Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
Bye-bye.
Surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from the Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.